In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. A distinctive characteristic, or something that really distinguishes an apostolic church, an apostolic church being the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, the Coptic Church, the Arminian Church, versus a Protestant denomination or a Protestant community. And note, we call them communities. They're not churches because they broke off from an apostolic church. One of the biggest distinguishing marks between a Protestant denomination and an apostolic church is tradition. Tradition. Coming from a Latin word, tradere, which means to hand on or to pass on. As I preached a few weeks ago, the Eastern churches emphasize very greatly tradition. Everything rests on tradition. Everything rests on what's been handed on to us, what's been passed on to us, ultimately from the apostles themselves. And in reading today's epistle, and look at the Greek, there is a verb form of tradition. And if you were literally translating it, it would mean, as St. Paul writes today, I have traditioned to you the gospel. I've traditioned, I've given to you, I've delivered to you the various churches. Traditioned. We don't really have an English word for it. And when you look at all 27 letters or books or documents of the New Testament, 27 of them, what are they doing but recounting for us what had been traditioned from the apostles, what had been handed on from those eyewitnesses of the life of Christ, his teachings, his miracles, and of course the paschal mystery, the passion, death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Christ into heaven. When I was younger and learning catechism, maybe you'll recall this if you grew up in the Western Catholic Church, the analogy often given was you had a stool. When you're talking about the authority of the church, you have the stool. And the stool sits on three legs. And the three legs hold the stool up. And I was taught you have scripture, you have tradition, and you have the magisterium. But over the years, I've come to realize how that analogy is actually incorrect. Doesn't quite capture really the truth of the authority of the church. The church really rests on one leg. It stands on one root. Tradition. It stands on tradition. And the scripture, the New Testament comes out of the tradition that was passed on by the apostles and the eyewitnesses of Christ. That's the key. The scriptures are passing on some of that tradition. Because remember, St. John tells us, if we could write everything down that Christ didn't talk, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. So the 27 books of the New Testament is simply a small portion of what was given to us. But what contains it, what holds it, is the apostolic tradition. And as for the magisterium, this is important. Too many Catholics forget this. The magisterium is not above the tradition. The magisterium, which is the patriarchs and the bishops, okay? Yes, and the Patriarch of Rome, the Bishop of Rome, has a special responsibility of keeping all the other churches in communion. But no patriarch, and the Bishop of Rome, the Pope himself, is not above the tradition. No, when we read our church fathers, The patriarchs and the bishops are at the service of tradition, and theirs is to guard what's been handed on to us. And that's important for us to remember. Tradition is the authority. That which has been given to us by the apostles to the church, and the church holds what's been given to us carefully and guards it carefully. The whole church. That's my introduction into today's epistle reading, which will be the focus for the homily. St. Paul wrote these words to the church of Corinth, quote, "Brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. Otherwise, you believe in vain. For I delivered, traditioned to you first of all that I was traditioned given." What is that tradition he's passing on? That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas and seen by the other apostles. End of quote. Declare. That word delivered or declared is the Greek word paradidomai. And the verb form of that is literally traditioned. That's what it literally means. So Paul is saying, I have traditioned the gospel to you, the Corinthians. And he says it to the Galatians. And he says it to the church of the Colossians. I have traditioned to you, the church of Galatia, the gospel. I have traditioned, I have handed on to you what's been given to me, church of Colossae. And what does St. Paul tell his churches? You must hold fast to what I've given to you. And when St. Paul writes the words about the scriptures, as it was foretold in the scriptures, you must remember this. He's not talking about the New Testament, because there was no New Testament when St. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He's referring to the Old Testament. And the New Testament is simply the written form or the context of the tradition. The New Testament are the writings which had been preached, containing the preachings of the apostles themselves, of what the apostles gave to the church, what they imparted to the church. And if someone was going to be a member, a participant in the life of the church, if you wanted to have communion in the church, it was absolutely necessary to hold fast to the teaching of the apostles. The New Testament was simply expressing the living tradition. And how did the early church assess which writings belonged to this group of 27 books? And there were other ones that were floating around that are authentic too. Now some will say, well, St. Paul says he's the author of this letter. St. John, at the end of his gospel, says, I am the one who witnessed all these things that have been written down. However, we know that in the ancient world it was not uncommon for someone to write something and then claim someone else who was of greater authority to be the author of what they've written. So there are forgeries. There are many forgeries of documents running around in the ancient world, just not in the church, in Roman history, or people quoting certain gurus of the days. This is nothing particular to the scripture. It was common back then for people to plagiarize and forge and commit forgery. So the question is this: how did the church recognize these writings of the New Testament to be the authoritative witness of what the apostles actually taught? Ultimately, the acceptance of the writings depended entirely upon tradition. The church, the faithful, have received what the apostles taught and passed that on faithfully. When they would hear writings read, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, the first epistle of John, the book of Hebrews, when they would hear these books, the faithful have received and holding fast to the tradition, recognized in those writings, this is a faithful witness, a faithful testimony to what we have heard from the apostles. And when they would hear things like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Nicodemus, they would hear things, they go, no, that's not what we received from the apostles. This is not correct. Doesn't mean everything, like in the Proto-Evangelium of St. James, was incorrect. But they recognize, but that's not complete. It deviates from what the apostles have traditioned to us. The church recognized this, and some way it violated the eyewitness account of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus the Christ. And so St. Paul writes what? I quote him again in today's epistle. For I traditioned to you, first of all, what I was also traditioned, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, Old Testament, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, according to the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, Scriptures. And this is key, and that was seen by Cephas and the apostles, the eyewitnesses. Our entire Christian faith rests on the validity of the witness of the apostles. This is so important. St. Paul will write to the church of Galatia these words: if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you received, than the one that you've been traditioned, let him be accursed. End of quote. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. That tradition, what is it? It's the gospel, the Evangelion. It's the apostolic declarations. It's the apostolic communion. It is that tradition that judges all things. It's that tradition alone that has the power to give life, to give new life within the church. Within the church. The sola scriptura approach, therefore, is erroneous. It's false. It's dangerous. And the me and God relationship that cuts someone else from the church, you cut yourself off from the church. You cut yourself off from the apostolic line. It is to the church that the apostles entrusted the message, not to an individual. The apostles traditioned the gospel to the entire church, and it is the entire church that preserves and traditions to every generation the apostolic faith, the gospel, apostolic communion. It's the church that traditions the gospel, which is what? The authentic, abiding, living presence of Jesus the Christ to all of us. And by being members of the church and in the church, we receive and we are strengthened in the gift of faith. Christ is among us.